Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. A week is a long time in football and there's certainly been plenty happened in the last 8 or 9 days since we last recorded. We've had points taken away from us, a very good home draw against Rangers, yesterday's defeat against Aberdeen, 2 new arrivals at Fir Park, and I think potential departures, which we will go on to discuss over the course of the next 3/4 of an hour or so. Today, as always, I'm joined by Andy and Pepe. Guys, welcome along.
All right, guys.
Pepe, I'll start with yourself, and we'll deal with the most recent bit of action from Fir Park and yesterday's 2-0 defeat against Aberdeen. Now, it was a strange game, wasn't it? We started pretty well. We lost a goal, perhaps against the run of play. We then were very unfortunate not to go in at the break level. Tony Watt had a great effort off the post. Sherwin Seedorf was denied by what was a blatant handball by Ojo. That could have led to Aberdeen being reduced to 10 as well, it must be said. Second half, in the very early stages, Liam Polworth is sent off. Now, Liam Polworth had an incident in the first half that he very potentially could have been sent off for. That didn't happen, but what seemed to happen in the second half, there was a collision between himself and Lewis Ferguson. Polworth hits the deck. The referee waves play on. Motherwell's chance goes. I think it was Chris Long that put it past the post. Play is hauled back and Liam Polworth sent off. In fact, in the coverage of the game, you could hear Lewis Irons saying, oh no, before we actually saw the red card had been flashed in Liam Polworth's direction, a straight red card. And it was a game very much littered by poor refereeing decisions. By Craig Napier, a referee I wasn't familiar with, despite the fact that I think he has refereed 2 more of our games this season. The end result, a 2-0 defeat. And it's got to be said that it is disappointing because we are continuing this run that stems back all the way to Halloween, where we've not picked up 3 points. We're still very much in the midst of a relegation battle. But that being said, and you're the man for positivity these days, it wasn't a terrible performance, and I think there is signs of things coming together under Graham Alexander.
No, I was relatively positive yesterday. Yesterday, refereeing decisions, whatever way you want to look at it, I'm no one for dwelling on refereeing decisions. Yes, we're going to talk about the Rangers game. Could have been offside. It was a small penalty yesterday. Absolutely no doubt about that at all. And then the sending off, for me, because we didn't see it as an incident, as a tackle, as whatever else, but for it to be brandished as a straight red, I just don't understand what was said and why there's not been more made of it. The concerning thing for me was watching the game, I've been critical of Polworth, saying he doesn't appear to have any fight. Yesterday appeared to have too much. And if that's a thing, and you're sitting watching it, and you just know that somebody's going to get sent off, and I just knew, I had a feeling that he was going to get sent off. That goes to show probably where the lapse is in our squad, because we can't have Polworth, our main creative player, who comes in for that bench yesterday to fill that void. So we persevered with him. And saying that, I think if Seedorf hadn't had such a poor game, he might have hooked him, just because it seemed to him and Lewis Ferguson were ready for a square go throughout the course of the game. Now, how he stayed on the park, I'll never know. How many tackles did he get away with? But taking away the refereeing decisions, the sending offs, it would have been penalties. I still felt as if we created a lot more. We looked more positive. The manager himself came out and he still tried to go for it, despite us going down to 10 men. I wasn't overly impressed with Aberdeen. I think they got the kind of luck, and they seem to have this knack of, when McInnes, I think yesterday if we had beaten Aberdeen yesterday, McInnes might have been out of a job, and they seem to have a knack of doing this. And the way that my mind works is, Aberdeen were coming into this game having been embarrassed by Ross County and come under some criticism. And I hate playing a team that has just been hammered 4-1. The same way that I'll hate it that Rangers have just hammered Ross County 5-0. But listen, as we said, maybe the game was ruined when we went to 10 men, and it was really just a case of us hoping to get to pinch a draw. And it could have happened, but it wasn't to be. We created plenty. The second half was ruined within a minute. And that's really it. It just really puts a real importance onto the game Wednesday night. I hate saying it's a six-pointer, but it really is, because if we get beat at Ross County on Wednesday night, that's us, bottom of the league. And it well, obviously depended on the Aki's result, but I'm really looking forward to it. I think now, going forward, looking at the fixtures we have, I think this is where we'll really be able to judge Graeme Alexander, because there's a few fixtures coming up where I would expect us to win, whereas the last two, Aberdeen away, you'd maybe got hoping for a draw. A win's a bonus. Rangers at home, we've got a draw. So going forward for now, I really think that it's time where we'll judge him. And I have to say, I've quite liked. I like the way that he spoke. I like the way that he's conducted himself. I've liked that he hooked Seed off at half time, because he just wasn't fitting into the shape of the game. He was losing the ball. He seems to have found out that Jordan White's not good enough. So all the things are positive for me at the moment. The only thing that I can say is concerning me a wee bit is when we've got a bye kick and we've got Declan Gallagher and Bevis Mugabe going to take the ball in the box. It gives me the fear, and I think Jock Brown actually covered that in his commentary yesterday as well. But all in all, I don't know. But certainly more positive than what I was with the string of defeats that we had under Robinson.
Andy, a lot of what Pepe's covered there is the positives, but there is maybe a kind of underlying frustration that we are still continuing to make the same silly mistakes. And despite the fact that Liam Kelly produced a string of saves to keep us in the game at 1-0 yesterday, we lose a goal from... The first goal comes from a ball that's put in between our two centre-backs. And Holman's able to rise above them and head the ball home. The second goal, again, I think we're too slow to react. And we make life very, very easy for opposition at times. Now, I'm not saying that we would have held out and found a way back into it, because I think we get deeper and deeper when we had 10 men, and Aberdeen do possess enough quality to break down what was a resolute defence. But we'd certainly... looked like we were going to concede, and that was the case. The point about Sherman Seedorf's an interesting one as well, because I kind of felt sorry for him yesterday. Now, for me, there's something about Sherman Seedorf. He's got bundles of energy, and he has got the ability to take on a man and be quite an exciting player to watch. But yesterday, he was almost kind of filling in for Stephen O'Donnell, which, for me, he's got no defensive qualities whatsoever. I don't actually think that Sherman Seedorf has it in him. It doesn't seem to have that enthusiasm that I talked about when it comes to playing a defensive role. I think that was an error from Graeme Alexander. I don't know whether it is the case that he's looking to put Sherwin on the market. Now, we've got a lot of attacking players, and you could see that from the fact that we had Harry Smith, Chris Long, Tony Watt, Devante Cole, all options that we had in at one point in the game yesterday. There was we were constantly playing three up front, actually. Chris Long came on at half time for Sherwin Seedorf, and then Harry Smith replaced Tony Watt. We've got a deluge of attacking options. I don't really see where Sherwin Seedorf fits in, and it was a real surprise for me to actually see that he started the game. But after last week, where I thought that he didn't offer a great deal, to be honest. I don't really know where. I don't know whether that was a kind of calculated part of our plan to try and put him in the shop window, but if it did, then it spectacularly backfired.
Various things there. Certainly, there's as you kind of get back to the start of that, underlying issues.
Sorry, I do appreciate that was a very, very long question. I don't even know what the question was.
Right. No problem.
There's been a number of games where we've been certainly no worse than the opposition, but it feels like sooner or later, eventually we're going to cough up an opportunity or two for the opponents. And when we're not scoring very many goals at all, it puts us under real pressure. And having gone behind as early as we did to a pretty weakly defended free kick set piece, then we were up against it, and we were certainly culpable to a certain extent with the second as well. So that's a negative that we need to kind of look at. I thought it was a quite sluggish start. Agree with Pepe that Aberdeen were there was a bit of pressure on them. I think there was a fair expectation that there would be a reaction after the result last week. So it was imperative that we started fast, and had we been able to get ahead, then you don't know what additional pressure it would have heaped on them, but it never quite happened. We were up against it. Slow start, never really done too much, conceded. But then after that, certainly credit to the team, they did go for it. It sparked my life, and arguably I thought we were a better team between then and the break. In terms of the starting 11, I felt that the performance that they put in against Rangers the week before, that I could understand why you would want to give them another opportunity. There's a very particular way that you can get benefit from Seedorf. If you happen to have a kind of sluggish fullback he's up against, and it's simply a case of him getting beyond the fullback and putting a cross in, then there's merit to him being in there. He can drive a fullback, force them to give away fouls. I think as we saw the opening couple of games of the season, that he'd the potential to do that. But beyond that, it doesn't strike me as a particularly intelligent player that knows when to come in, knows when to pass. And more often than not, he'll kind of hold on to the ball too long and either fall over, be tackled, or be crowded out. All the kind of things that the inventive spark that was there in the opening 5-6 weeks of his career at Fir Park just don't seem to be there. But he does have that bit of pace that if the right ball's played to him against the potentially the right fullback or defender, then there's an opportunity to get beyond to put a ball in. And on the basis of how we played last week, I could see why Alexander would want to reward him by giving the starting 11 the same kind of run out of game. But it was fairly obvious it didn't work and the change had to be made. Personally, I would have gone for Hasty. I didn't think Hasty done too bad at all at Paisley. And whilst he obviously was ineligible last weekend, I would have went with him. I might even have started with him. But again, I can see why he went with the starting 11. Really, it's a case of some of these, like, there's players, Tony Watt is a perfect example, perhaps, that every manager believes that they can unlock the skills or attributes to a particular player. And there'll be managers, no question, up and down, that will see that element of pace, that will see the fact that he scored goals from distance, that there's a wee bit of trickery if he's against a certain level of player, and think that they can develop Seedorf in the same way that Robertson clearly thought he could take them on. And all the things that we're kind of saying now about Sherwin, we kind of read reports about Wolves fans saying them as well. I can't remember if he was loaned somewhere as well or whether I'm mixing them up with somebody else, but much the same was said again. So, and I'm fairly sure that there'll be a manager somewhere that will think that they'll have the whether it's the arm around the shoulder, whether it's the kick up backside, whatever the kind of method they employ that will unlock what Sherwin has to offer. But it's just not cutting it for us. It's not what's needed at this moment in time. And I definitely think it would be beneficial for all concerned if we, you know, now the fact that the Lawless is there as well, that, you know, we can, if we have to move bodies on to create finance to bring others in, then he's certainly a candidate.
Yeah, I think maybe too much of a luxury is what I was maybe getting at in that very, very long question there. The mention about the fact that Graham Alexander Pepe has kind of had a look at almost all of our squad, and now the fact that we perhaps don't have a very good squad doesn't negate from the fact that we have a very big squad. You go through the squad list on the official website, and to be honest, even the likes of Ross McKeever's come back in after his loan spell at Morton as well. So we've got a deluge of attacking options. Jordan White didn't even feature in the squad yesterday. Do you think that's another one that perhaps is now surplus to requirements and is heading for the exit door?
I certainly do. I mean, he's never... The new boy, Harry Smith, came on yesterday, and you can't really judge him on that performance, but he certainly looks as if he had a wee bit more about him than what Jordan White did. I just don't think Jordan White was up to the standard. It was a really uninspiring signing, and he's never really done anything or allowed us to see anything that would want me to even consider him getting a starting game. And I think yesterday that he wasn't even in the squad. He's a championship player. That's the best way of putting it. The way that I look at it is, would he get a game with any other team in the SPL? Probably not. Maybe Hamilton, but that at a push. I just don't think he's good enough. I think bringing up Ross McKeever's an interesting one. I haven't seen anything from him at all. Apart from obviously his cracking goal Ross County Boxing Day last year, I just don't know what he brings. He never had a successful time at Morton at all. I like to keep my eye on the players that go out on loan, and none of them unfortunately really seem to be setting the heather on fire. But in particular, I mean, he was on the bench for Morton. Sorry, I've got my daughter running into the room again to tell me she's got her iPad. Sorry. I just don't think that he brings anything to the game. I mean, I was shocked when he came on against Rangers. I couldn't believe it that he was coming on. We don't see them in training, and I've harped on about this. What really frustrates me is that we don't get to see the 20s, reserves, whatever you want to call them, because that was a good basis that you could actually get to judge them. So, for example, if Jordan White wasn't playing on a regular basis, we would at least get to see him possibly playing in the reserves and maybe get his confidence up the same way these other guys. I just think it's a massive, massive problem that we don't have this second reserve team, whatever you want to call it. Because, I mean, look at the cry was for David Turnbull and Alan Campbell to get in the team before, because the fans were going and watching. And I know I'm going completely off what you've asked me, but I think that's part of the problem, that we don't get to see the next batch of players. I mean, we've got the club did this thing on the boy Johnson, but none of us have seen him playing. Well, I certainly haven't. I don't know about any of you guys. I certainly haven't seen him playing. And it's no Motherwell's fault that we've not got the reserves league. But at least then we'd be able to kind of watch it in even if it's highlights or obviously, in this circumstances, if you were off your work in a Monday afternoon or whatever, I would venture and watch the games, and you would get a wee bit of knowledge about these guys. And as well, the players that are maybe hitting it, as I've said, Jordan White and stuff, getting a couple of goals and getting their confidence up. But going back to the main point, the players there is players there that need to be moved on, but it's just whether or not the right team can win for them. What I will say is, I would quite like to see Seedorf, see going to the Championship, just to see how he performs, whether he gets a regular run of games, maybe in like a Dunfermline or something like that, and see how he goes, because I think he is a confidence player.
I definitely think that there's something there with Shevin Seedorf. I think it's just, I don't know whether we can be carrying the numbers that we currently are, because I think that we are at a stage where we still need to strengthen this squad, despite the fact that we're carrying a pretty bulky squad. And your point is quite prevalent in the fact that I think we do have to have increased numbers, because we've not got the option of, I will give him a couple of games in the reserves and see how he goes. That doesn't work in this kind of difficult times where there is no under-18s football, there is no reserve football. So the likes of Max Johnson, I would imagine our collective knowledge about him is that he's got a very nice dog. We don't actually know anything about the fact that Stephen Robinson seemed to think that he was ready to be involved in the first team picture. But the same can be said for Dean Cornelius, who has had nothing apart from a sub appearance this season at Tannadice. We've got these young boys that are possibly on the periphery, but they're not going to get the opportunities because it's too much of a risk to throw them in. And even after Cornelius came on against Dundee United in Boxing Day, there was a few suggestions of why would you put him into such a high pressure game, and it was easy with the benefit of hindsight to say, well, we drew the game one each after being ahead from pretty early on. Was that due to the substitutions? I don't think it was. I don't think he did anything particularly negative over the course of the 10 minutes or so that he got. But it's an easy kind of stone to throw when things go wrong after you've introduced a relatively inexperienced player. And I don't really know where they're going to get that experience. The pressures of the shortened championship season as well is another thing that means that these guys that are going to your Mortons and Dunfermlines and stuff like that, they've got to hit the ground running. If they're not up to the level straight away, then they're deemed as too much of a risk and they're possibly sidelined there. And God knows what happens to their confidence after that. They've dropped from the top league into the second tier, and then they're not going to game the second tier either. It's pretty concerning stuff. I don't really know how we address the issue of no second string football. We've tried to exploit the loan system, and as you've already said, it's not really the case that it's working out. And we're now getting guys in from the likes of Northampton Town on loan. It's a pretty damning indictment just now of the young guys coming through. And I'm saying that without any basis of having seen them, but if they were good enough, surely they'd be in already.
I know, I totally agree. And the thing that kind of shocked me when Ross McKeever was coming on, I mean, if he's not good enough to get a game for Morton, then why bring him on against Rangers? I couldn't understand that. And I think it's a valid point that if that's the market we're in, you never know. I mean, if we're talking about Harry Smith, you look at his, I mean, everybody does the same. They go into Wikipedia, sign a striker, and his goal ratio doesn't look good. But because they need to, if that's the market we're in, you never know. I mean, look at the likes of like Sam Cosgrove at Aberdeen. He was kind of similar. Carlisle, I think he came from and was not overly prolific, and then he had that couple of years, albeit now he's going through a barn spell. But there maybe is a gem there, so I'm happy to give players a chance. But with regards to the likes of the players that are out in loan, for me, if they don't really cut it when they're out in loan, then why, I can't understand why they're coming in. Personally, this will probably be a bit a stupid comment, can be looked at because I've been more than critical of Jordan Wright, but I think Jordan Wright brings more than what Ross McKeever does. But again, he is a young guy, so I really don't know what the solution is with regards to that. It's just that it's obviously financial, and it's not going to get any better with the current climate, with the pandemic and all the other depressing stuff that's going on around about us now.
It's an interesting thing that you mentioned goal scoring records. Now, I thought that it was quite interesting that it got cast up. Harry Smith doesn't have a particularly good goal scoring record. Though, to be fair, these comments came from the same people that laud Tony White's contract. Tony White, who's Tony White? Tony Watt's contribution to the team. He's only scored 4 league goals this season. So we've got to kind of be a wee bit realistic about the situation and realise that we've not got anyone that's firing on all cylinders just now. So I think we've got to kind of, I don't know, Andy, maybe just kind of test the waters and see what a new face could bring. He certainly brought a physical presence yesterday.
It's difficult to say. Certainly a difficult situation to kind of bring him on in to start with. But you know, he was on the field, you know, a matter of minutes, and he created an opportunity. I think it was specific for Christopher Long, if I remember rightly. He linked up reasonably well. I think in terms of the kind of extended squad, there will be a kind of an element of kind of getting to know the players from Alexander. I was kind of taken back up to the game yesterday and remember going back up and one of early Mark McGee's kind of second reigns, and he kind of quite publicly said that his team selection that afternoon was to see who could do what for him, to give different players a try. And it was kind of similar, kind of maybe not in terms of quality of players, but you know, I remember at that point there, I think you had McDonald, you had Moult, you had Theo Robinson, you had, I can't remember his name, Wes Fletcher as well. You had like 4 or 5 kind of forwards there. And like kind of yesterday was an element of that as well. You know, you had obviously started with Cole and Watt, even though you know, kind of one of them were out wide. And then you had Christopher Long come on at half time, and then you'd Smith as well. So there will be in the back of like you know, like either last week, there will be, and even Seedorf to a certain extent, there will be an element of kind of see what these players can do in a match day situation. They can see what they can do to a certain extent in training, but there will be that kind of element of, well, what is your temperament like in a situation? What is your decision making like when you're put under pressure rather than you know, just a teammate coming bearing down on you in training? So I suspect there's going to be an element of that going forward till the manager's kind of fully equipped and knows what his team's all about. But for now, you're just looking to nudge up the quality. And I think in terms of signings, Lawless has come in. And he's one that you know, he's familiar with the Premier League. He's played in the Premier League and equipped himself you know, very well for the best part of half a decade. So he's going to improve on what we had there. There's a bit of creativity there and there's a wee bit of goal scoring threat. I think we've already seen that the hints are that Smith is going to be an upgrade on what Jordan White has brought. We've got Liam Kelly in goals, who's certainly an upgrade on Chapman. Time will tell as to kind of how comparisons can be made between him and Trevor, and well, there's a decision to be made there whenever Trevor's fully fit. But that's like kind of 3 instances where you've kind of nudged up the quality of the players concerned, and that's really what it's all about between now and the end of the window, is you just kind of have to build, improve, and whether that happens to be it's a player we've brought in. I tend not to be too picky about where the players come from. Sometimes we can get caught up too much in where they actually come from and dismiss players that simply because of the level that they've come from or the club that they've come from. There's been plenty of instances down the years where you know, players have done a turn for us that might have not come from the most fashionable sides or the most well-known of divisions. So regardless of who it is, whether it's an incoming player, regardless of whether it's somebody that's already in the staff that hasn't had an opportunity or particularly much an opportunity, you think perhaps here maybe Barry Maguire over Robbie Crawford, for example, then just we're going to have that, and let's hope it's enough to sort of allow the manager to formulate a team that's going to get us up the table.
You talked about new faces arriving, and Pepe, the arrival of Stephen Lawless back at Firth Park is an interesting one, certainly. It seems like his time at Burton Albion didn't quite work out to plan. But certainly a player that's got plenty of experience in the Scottish Premiership and has been a bit of a thorn in our side over the last maybe 5 or 6 years. It'll be interesting to see how that goes in terms of what he'll do to bolster our squad. A bit disappointing yesterday, mind you, that obviously didn't feature in the squad, so we've got to kind of keep our fingers crossed that that isn't an injury that's going to keep him out for any period of time, or there's something underlying there. It's kind of all down to speculation because we don't know exactly what the reason behind the fact that he was missing out yesterday was.
I was quite happy with Willem signing. I think as Andy's already said, he's definitely an improvement, and that's kind of what you need. You need a player that knows the league well, that can just hit the ground running. And I fully expected him. Yesterday, when I was thinking about what the team would be, I had him in the starting lineup rather than Seedorf. A signing that improves the squad is all we can really ask. Just with regards to the injury, I mean, it's kind of a mystery that we don't know what it is. Let's just hope it isn't too serious. But on the same kind of front, there's nothing really been said about Trevor Carson's injury. You've got to presume the fact that we went out and got Liam Kelly, that it's maybe not the greatest news, but I think Liam Kelly's been the most important signing for us. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. That's really just going on yesterday's performance, the brilliance of against St Mirren. I mean, if we still had Alan Chapman in goals, we could be really sitting here looking, that game yesterday could have been 5 or 6. We could have lost the St Mirren game. So Liam Kelly for me has been, and I know it's not Graham Alexander, whoever behind the scenes, if it was Robinson, Lasley, whoever, it's been a great signing. And I'll tell you something, see if he continues to play the way that he's playing, he'll maybe find himself in the Scotland squad if the Euros still get to go ahead, because his performances are at that level now. But I'm not getting carried away, because I know that he's only played 3 times, but his shot stopping yesterday was brilliant. I actually said to my son yesterday when I was watching it, if he continues with this, Carson will be in the same position where he was when Gillespie was here. So we can look at all of these players coming in. For me, the best bit of business that we'll do in this window has definitely been Liam Kelly.
I think it's pretty difficult to argue with that, Andy, in terms of a few of the saves. There was one particular one from a header from point blank range yesterday that it was just an incredible stop. It then turned one over the bar shortly afterwards. That was a great save as well, great bit of reflexes. He certainly looks very assured, and I thought it was a wee bit unfair, actually. The commentary, Jock Brown mentioned that he hadn't kept a clean sheet since, I think it was going back to last March for QPR. But he's not had a great deal of game time, but he's fitted in there very well. And it's certainly a position that we needed strengthening, given that we were playing with a goalkeeper that seemed reluctant to use his arms at times. But he'll certainly be providing a bit of confidence to the back line. And I think you can maybe see that as an example in the Rangers game, where Bevis Mugabe looked a lot more assured than he had done in previous weeks.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, I was critical earlier on in terms of the goals that we conceded yesterday, but there aren't that many instances where we do get kind of thumped. There's been a couple this season, but generally you're losing by a goal, and our defence and our goalkeeper, certainly when Carson is there, stroke Kelly, for the most part, it's not the worst part of our team more often than not, and it is just a gradual increases, whether it's increase in quality, whether it's existing players up in their game, whatever the case is. But you know, you're not a million miles away, but certainly, I mean, Motherwell teams that have performed over the last decade or so, they've been built in like some excellent goalkeepers. You think Gillespie, you think Carson, you know, you think Ruddy, Randolph, you know, guys like that, and they've won as numerous points over the course of a season, and he looks as if he's a kind of player that could certainly do likewise. So you know, you feel certainly more assured now, knowing that it's either going to be Kelly or Carson that's going to be between the posts, that's for sure.
We've covered the Rangers game in a fair bit of depth, but we've kind of skirted over it at the same time. Andy, I'll stick with yourself, and it certainly was a very assuring performance, wasn't it, in terms of assuring? Maybe an assured performance, given the calibre of the opposition. We went in at half-time deservedly ahead. We did get a wee bit within ourselves and had to kind of play the circumstances and respect the quality that Rangers had. They eventually get back in terms with about 15, 20 minutes to go. But all in all, a very good point in a game that you don't expect to take anything from.
No, it was definitely an encouraging performance result. And I think with the fact that we'd started the game bottom of the table, were facing runaway leaders, then everybody only expected that the situation was going to be worse, that the table would be even kind of more horrible looking at the end of the day. So to actually have kind of ended in 11th place was definitely encouraging. We kind of pondered it beforehand. Would we have a different mentality with the fact that the manager hadn't faced them before and wasn't kind of ground down by knowing what you're up against? And you know, it was certainly a performance that they were full of belief and confidence. The goal we scored was excellent, fully deserving of the lead at half time. We just kind of get deeper and deeper, and you just feared that sooner or later they were going to get one opportunity, and you know that eventually came. But that in itself was, and it offered encouragement. You know, it was not dissimilar from when we conceded at Ibrox, and we know how that kind of finished. And I'm sure most people would have had concerns that it would have went along similar lines. So for us to have kind of got there, got to the end, sort out, really, really encouraging display. Good point. And you know, it certainly looked as if we're now kind of looking at it and it's only 2 points from 9, but certainly at that point you're looking two games undefeated. Looks as if there's been a certain upturn to a degree anyway in performances since the new manager came in, and whilst we didn't get the result yesterday, you could argue that to a certain extent as well yesterday. So you know, signs of improvement certainly, and that was a most welcome if unexpected point against Rangers.
That being said, Scott, there's massive games on the horizon. We play Ross County on Wednesday night in Dingwall, and then the following Wednesday night host Dundee United at Fir Park. It's almost getting to that point of the season where we need to be looking at these games as, dare I say, must-win games, because we are in such a drought when it comes to picking up the 3 points. And while performances are improving, and I think the kind of mood around the club seems a bit lifted in the back of the new manager, we can't hide from the fact that we're still joint bottom of the table. And if we are going to survive, we're going to need to start picking up 3 points against the teams around us in the league, and the teams that I guess we're expected to beat, which I do say a victory at Dingwall shouldn't be beyond us. And then Dundee United at Fir Park, I think if we looked at the game at the start of the season, we would view that as a game that we should be picking up 3 points from as well.
No, I agree, but just quickly, I just want to go back to what something that Andy said, just to clarify something. Andy said an unexpected point. I'd just like to say that it was an expected point from my point of view, because it was only me that was a positive one on the podcast last week. So let's just get that out there before we go into the Ross County.
That was really poor from Andy, wasn't it? Not asking for your moment.
What's that saying about a broken clock being right twice a day anyway?
But anyway,
or in this case, every 19 years.
Well, listen, I've got this crazy way. I think I've already said I would have rather that Ross County went out and did an admirable performance against Rangers, because I always hate playing a team when they've just been battered. Hence, I wasn't overly confident coming up to the Aberdeen game. But now that we're getting into this win on the fixtures, if you look at the way that the manager has come in, he gets announced late Thursday night, he takes the team on the Friday and goes to St Mirren. So they've done well. It could have went either way. We could have won, lost or drew that game, but there was an improvement. Rangers For me, the first half was probably the best football that we've played this season. Second half, we were up against it. Yesterday, again, we went behind, but we showed that fight determination, and there's a wee bit more of the creativity. There was Tony Watt at the post. We could have had a penalty. Then the stupidness of the red card. Now we're getting into a run of games where the manager's going to have a month behind it. Almost 3 weeks to a month by the time that we come to Dundee United. So for me now, these are the winnable games. This is now going to be crucial for him. He's going to put his stamp on it. He's going to have a chance to see the likes of, we've already discussed, the Seedorf make it. The one thing that I'm really happy with is Devante Cole. I think he's really kind of found his feet playing centrally, whereas before he was really playing out, been shoved out to the wing. So for me, these games, I really can't see us not at least getting 4 points. And I'm going to put him out there again that I think we'll win our next two games. I think we'll scrape it against St Johnstone. I think we'll have a really good performance against Dundee United. I just think that everything is going against us. We've not had much luck at all. And luck is nothing that you can... It comes and it goes. And I think it's just going to start to turn on us now. I think we're going to... We'll get a dodgy penalty or a handball goal or something at Ross County, and then we'll go out and we'll have a really good performance back at Fir Park on the Saturday. I think the fact that we've got... We've discussed the keeper now. I'm still get paranoid every time McGabby's get the ball, but to be fair to him, he has looked, he's improved, but I always think he's got a mistake in him. Just hopefully on Wednesday that Marco Harris back, she'll just slot into her heart to Polworths, and I think we're really going to start pushing on now. I'm confident, bearing in mind we're in this position now and we've got a couple of games in hand against the teams above us. So I don't think things are just as bleak. And it is fine margins at the moment. We're not a million miles away. It's not like we're going out and getting absolutely hammered. Yesterday and another day, that one for Tony Watt is in. And we get the penalty and we're 2-1 up. Do you know what I mean? We're only miles away. And I think now that the managers, the time to bed in, I generally do think we're going to go out and go on a wee run now, because we've not had a run this season at all. We've maybe had two or three games where we've won and drew a few, but this is our time now. Much like the season when Jake Hastie burst onto the scene, I think we're going to go on a wee run. I think I looked at the fixtures before we come on. We've really got quite, there's Hibs away, Celtic away, and the rest of them, you're looking at winning and drawing the majority of them. So I think we'll be starting to keep up the table quite quickly over the next few weeks, and my positive attitude is going to rub off on the rest of these.
Andy, I'm really unsettled by him. This isn't the guy that we've had since August, where that glass certainly didn't seem to be sitting half full.
Well, I know who I'm blaming if we ended up getting relegated this season. He assured me. He told me it was all going to be all right.
We certainly all need a scapegoat, and it seems like Scott's kind of put himself forward for that, so it was a very generous question.
That works for me.
just a kind of silly one on the Ross County game. What is it with them moving all the kickoff times to 6 o'clock for the midweek games? I know we're not going to be there, so we're not rushing away for our work and everything else, but it still is a wee bit of unsettler. I prefer we
stuck to the 7:45. Presumably just means they're down the road 2 hours earlier and then can go to training the next day to some degree, or undertake training or recovery, whatever, in preparation for the next game. That's the only thing I can think of it.
Well, just as we move towards finishing up, the last podcast we recorded, and I'm going to come to you, Andy, again, we talked about the appeal from someone in Kilmarnock, and we were kind of in the dark as to what was going to happen. A couple of days later, it was revealed that the appeal had been successful from someone in Kilmarnock, so the award of 2-3-0 victories was overturned. and we'll have to play both St Mirren and Kilmarnock during the month of February. Two more games to fit into our already busy schedule. The Scottish Cup, there's massive question marks over what's going to happen there. Of course, since last time we recorded as well, it has been confirmed that we'll be in lockdown until the middle of February. There's not been any word in when the resumption of League One and League Two football will commence. So it's all very much up in the air. I think that the feeling was one of frustration from a Motherwell point of view, certainly, and the fact that it took them so long to get to this decision. I'm not really sure whether I believe that the award of the 6 points to us in the first place was the right decision. I don't know if it was the wrong one either. I think it was quite an elongated process. It was drawn out in true kind of Scottish Football Administration ways, that everything seems to take an age to come to a conclusion. The long and the short of it now is, though, we face two additional games and two massive games that will have a big say in what league we're playing in next season. I know Pepe is pretty convinced that we'll win every game 4-0 between now and the end of the season, apart from at Easter Road and Celtic Park, but I guess it's possibly a headache that we could have done without. These are two games that are going to be shoehorned in. I already mentioned the fact that St Mirren and Kilmarnock brought games forward for Scottish Cup weekend, so we'll be sitting on our hands that weekend while they'll be playing and potentially picking up points on us as well. It's I think that ourselves and Hamilton have been the two victims from this process, and it's just not been handled very well. I think the end outcome may be correct in terms of when you hold it up against other circumstances, but the fact of the matter is there wasn't legislation there to deal with these scenarios, and that was an absolute failing on the SPFL's part.
I know, it's been really annoying. Like yourself, I mean, we're covering old ground again, that I don't think anybody expected them to be forfeiting games. So it was a surprise when the announcement was first made by the SPFL. It was even more of a surprise how in-depth and kind of sensible the reasoning was whenever they announced that. Pain in the backside that it took so long to kind of come up with the fact that they were going to have the appeal. To announce that, as again, as we discussed, like hours before a kind of game, which has the potential to interfere with the focus and that. The fact that you've already missed numerous opportunities to play these games, as has now happened, that they've determined that we have to play them. And we've as a club and a support, we've had a whole lot of flack given to us because we've had the temerity to say that, well, wait a minute, you've pissed us about here for the best part of 3 months. Reaching this point, it's almost like, how dare you get offended that you've been messed about and, oh, for our teams not failing to do what they should have done in the first place. So it's been quite annoying, and it's left a wee bit of a sore aftertaste, and it's not been helped as well by our esteemed Football Association and their representatives with their kind of their determinations off the park, you know, pulling up for offences that very rarely have been pulled up for, in terms of, like, you know, Madden at Tannadice, Madden at the game against with the penalty at St Mirren, missing an offside last week, missing a penalty yesterday. And so we're kind of, you know, a wee bit irritated by the SFA currently, and, you know, let's not beat about the bush. If those kind of sequences of events had to happen to certain other teams, there would be clarification, would be sought, and, you know, various kind of phone-ins and newspapers taking up reams of pages to discuss said events. But, you know, it is what it is at the end of the day, and but it's just a bit annoying. So we'll deal with it. The positives are it gives the manager another two games to sort of see his team, try out whatever it is he's wanting to try for those particular fixtures. I would hope that there's no short of motivation to ensure that we get the 6 points on the park, which we would have been aware at one stage were awarded off them. So they're going to be important games, and I look forward to them and hope that there'll be suitable motivation there to make sure that they're both won.
Scott, I'll just shove my bit into it. Sorry, just quickly, just I think you've got to separate the refereeing decisions which all went against us, and I know it's all coming at the same time, right? I totally get that. That's just football. But what really frustrates me is I wish that they just hadn't gave us the 6 points. To be honest with you, I think it is the right decision. I just think, as you've said, it's just the way that we go about it. And I just don't think that the SFA are fit for purpose, not just for Motherwell, but for other clubs. I'm actually involved in another supporters group, the Scottish Football Supporters Association, which is, we've got numerous other people involved with it. There's Henry McLeish and stuff like that. So we'd urge anybody that this is a kind of group that think that we can go forward and challenge the SFA. So we'd urge anybody that's listening to this to go and have a look at that and join up. And if you think you can, it's really to get a fan's voice, almost similar to what the Wales Society is. This is a group of guys that, and women as well, Barad, that feel that the game just isn't getting run properly. And I think we need to separate that from, I suppose, from another point of view, the refereeing decisions and all that all comes collectively, and we feel as if we're getting kicked in the arse and kicked in the balls at the same time. But listen, the way that not just this decision, if you look at the Celtic situation where the SFA have just been like, ah, well, we've said they could go, so there's nothing that we can do about it. I mean, that's an absolute joke. So there's all these collective things that, in the middle of the pandemic, the things that, even the way that for example, the leagues, I listened to Off the Ball yesterday, and the way that the lower league clubs are being treated, and I know that there's different organisations, but they're an absolute shambles. Any other business that they deemed to be, they'd be bankrupt.
Yeah, I think it's important to recognise the fact that you've obviously got the SPFL running the leagues, and then the SFA. So we've got two governing bodies of Scottish football, which for me is a wee bit kind of overkill in a sense as well. But in terms of, it's obviously different bodies running the game, and there's so many other factors that come into play in terms of things like League One and League Two being stopped, and we've got to kind of, there's so much science and everything else behind it that it's so difficult to gauge whether the right decisions are being made. There's talk this morning about South African variants of COVID-19 as well. So let's be honest, there's people with far more intelligence than the three of us, regardless of how smart we think we are, that must know more about this and must be kind of closer to making the right call or a more balance call than we could make as football fans that just don't want football stopped. But in terms of I think that what we all agree on is the fact that they don't make these decisions in a proper manner either. In terms of the announcement even being made in Boxing Day that the points award to Motherwell had been suspended, that was a shit show. In terms of, you've got a game 4 or 5 hours later, a significant game. You can imagine the mood in the camp when you've lost 6 points before a ball's been kicked, and then you go into that game and play very well. That was certainly our best performance in December. Lose a late goal to draw the game 1-1, and then go on and lose against Kilmarnock at Fir Park and Hamilton in the Derby. I'm not saying that decision turned our month or anything like that, but I think it had a bearing, and it just felt like if anything could go wrong, it did. And it was kind of the same yesterday. It just feels that there's nothing that seems to be going for us just now, and it's just a frustrating time. But I think, as Andy summed up pretty well, it was just annoying. The whole process was handled poorly, and really, the likes of St Mirren and Kilmarnock, so both getting reduced fines as well, they came out at pretty, didn't they?
Let's not kid ourselves. This is all done. In my opinion, this is done to get people's houses in order, and we've been caught in the middle of it. The SFA have come out and gave these punishments, and then they've always had at the back of their mind, right, we'll take these points back off us. It's just unfortunate that we've had that we're in the middle, in my opinion anyway, and it's to say this is what we could do, but we've not got the bottle to follow it through. And I think that's
I disagree to a certain extent there, because look at the statement that came out. Keep in mind it was originally the SPFL that took the points off them. Their appeal then went to the SFA. Look at the statement. Have a look at the statement that the league put out in response to the SFA's determination. They seem as pissed off as anybody about it. It was the type of one-line statement that you get out. I think you could paraphrasing, but it was, we acknowledge the SFA's decision. We will seek clarity of the reasons for their decision. That, to me, strikes me as an organisation that's hacked off with it as well after whatever they've done. So I don't see that it's any attempt. That's in-house fighting more than anything else in there. But what I do agree with you is we're caught in the middle of it.
It's very much a case of circumstance, like, you know, you falling out with your missus. You would be better just actually speaking in the house. And both the SPFL and the SFA are based at Hampden. It seems like people don't talk to each other. And that's kind of paramount in the situation and the way that it was handled as well. There's no communication. And it's just, I just don't understand it. I don't. The hierarchy, if this was, again, it's kind of like the refereeing decisions. And I saw a few accusations yesterday that if this was another team, they would be jumping up and down about the decisions that were made in this game. Now, let's not forget the fact that Aberdeen had a perfectly good goal. For me, disallowed yesterday. Ash Taylor, I couldn't see why his goal was disallowed. Just the way that things are handled and then kind of swept under the carpet. Muddle are an easy victim. Hamilton Accies are an easy victim. It's going to be much more of a situation when it comes to the nitty-gritty, and this is a decision that affects one of the big two. And let's be honest, the way that they've handled the Celtic situation in recent weeks has been far from impressive.
I said that, I think Celtic, as soon as they went to Dubai, St Mirren and Kilmarnock, and in my opinion, rightly so, jumped on it. But I've said right from the start, the fact that there is no consistency, I think what they've got to do is they've got to sit around on their table and say, right, this is the rules. If you can't meet a fixture as a result of that, we can prove that there's a COVID beat, you lose points. The fact that there's none in black and white, and the fact that Aberdeen and Celtic both had similar episodes and didn't get the points taken off them, I think it is the right decision. Maybe we'll only be seeing that if we end up getting in a relegation dogfight. But let's go again. It's maybe an extra motivation for our players. Let's go out and win these two games and stick the fingers up at particularly St Mirren fans.
Let's finish this in a much more positive vein. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been seeking out a sponsor for the podcast on a yearly basis. We obviously have administration costs in terms of website upkeep and the domain names and the fact that every previous episode of the podcast is still available if and when you want it. Scott, you did a fantastic job in getting MM Joinery on board to sponsor the podcast for the remainder of 2021 into the early part of 2022. Can you give us a wee bit of background on the company itself and just kind of echo my sentiments on the fact that we're very grateful for their support over the next year?
Well, that's it's still a friend of mine, Mark, who really has done a lot of work in my house, and he's a local business guy. Now, this is where it gets a wee bit confusing. He stays in Motherwell now, but he's from Lark Hall. Now, you would normally think that Mark is a Rangers fan, but he's actually one of the very few Celtic fans from Lark Hall, so he's quite unique. But in all seriousness, he's a good guy, and that's really what you're looking for, a trustworthy tradesman. Mark had heard me, I think he'd say he loves podcasts and he'd listened to a couple of them, and I'd said, oh, jokingly, or they're looking to get somebody to sponsor it. And within 2 seconds, he's like, I'll do it, because he likes to be involved. So I think he's even going to come on and give us his view when we beat Celtic at Celtic Park and get a wee bit of banter between us. But he's just I'd like to thank him for offering it. It didn't take much at all for him to say that he would help us out. So if he's going to his main kind of sites on Facebook, you'll see some of the work he's done at my house on it as well. So it's MM Joinery in Facebook, and I'd just like to echo your thanks as well.
Yeah, massive thanks to Mark, and over the next couple of weeks or so, but there will be some logos on the podcast website, as well as a few links to some of his work on podcast previews and such like. But it's a massive thing. It's, don't get us wrong, we don't earn any money from running this podcast. It's very much a labour of love, but the support of MN Joinery over the next year will allow us to continue to bring things to you for free, and without the need for Patreons and everything else, which a lot of podcasts through necessity have to do. So the MFC podcast will remain free of charge, as it always has been, for the next year. So thank you again to Mark and MM Joinery. Guys, I think that's pretty much all we've got for today. Thank you very much.
No problem. Pleasure.
Cheers, and can I just say one wee thing before we go? I don't know if any of you guys saw it on Twitter or on Facebook, that unfortunately, I don't know if you guys even knew, Anne, that ran the Wisher Bus for years and years, passed away. This week, Anne was a character for me. There's numerous Millwall fans will know for her time in the Wisher Bus. She ran the bus. It was a tight ship, the Wisher Bus, back in the day. The likes of how I know Derek Watson and Mark Johnson and there's Big Jaffa and John McCann, the lot. And Anne was a big part of that turned us into kind of being friends. So I was really sad to see that she had passed away. She was a big member of the disability, Millwall Disabled Supporters Association. So I'd just like to pass my condolences on to Andy, her husband, who's a Millwall fan, and thank Anne for all the years of running the bus and putting up with her cheek and trying to sneak drink on the bus.
Yeah, certainly, and I'd like to echo these thoughts as well. Thoughts with Andy and everyone involved with the Disabled Supporters Association. You've been listening to the MFC podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, thank you and goodbye.